Came across a quote the other day that I think's true. I think it addresses what I like to call the universality of the human condition. No matter time or geography, the message of truth that comes through, being absolute, truth about grace and love. The stories people tell have a way of taking care of them and learn to give them away when they are needed. Sometimes a person needs a story more than food to stay alive. That is why we put these stories in each other's memories. This is how people care for themselves. It's from a little book I'm reading by a name of the fellow Barry Lopez in Crow and Weasel. But it strikes me always, you know, that we just heard the stories all throughout the scriptures. It's about being called by name, the name that's given to us at baptism that, please God, in the story is written in the book of salvation in heaven. We have the story from St. Paul of how we are to avoid things that are totally of the flesh, because then the things of the Holy Spirit are neglected and the story of the soul is deprived, and consequently that more seduced by things of the world. An old story, ever ancient, ever new. And in the story that we have of St. John today in the Gospel, who was talking about the call. This is the beginning of Christ's ministry in John's Gospel. And so they are looking for the Messiah, have been for 4,000 years. And now Christ comes along. And the story is that there is something about this Jesus that they see. They've heard about him from John the Baptist. Matter of fact, they've been followers of John the Baptist, according to the story of the four Gospels. And so there's this invitation that kind of rises up out of the story. It would be our headline, as a matter of fact, if we were reading it, a come and see. I mean, that's what the Holy Spirit is always saying to us. Come and see. The devil, the enemy, and our own weakness will issue the same invitation, come and see. But anything that is issued by way of the enemy is not going to be full of life or grace or faith or hope or love. So we have to be careful whenever we feel this urging, this call, the vocatio, to come and see, that we are a people who stand there always throughout our life and we're saying, here I am, Lord, I come to do your will, as it was said in the Old Testament. You see, that's what we do in the story of our salvation. We connect what has been in the Old Testament with what is in the New Testament. But that's not the end of the story. We continue with the workings of the Holy Spirit after the close of the canon of the scriptures, which really has to do with St. John the Evangelist's death when he was about 102 years old. And then the story for Catholics is that the Holy Spirit continues to move throughout the human condition and what we would call the magisterium of the church, specifically the fathers of the church, who were the disciples of the apostles, and the doctors of the church, who were disciples of the fathers. And then we come into the prophetic voice. Just like the Old Testament, there were prophets that were raised up. Well, there's a prophet today in all of us of the Holy Spirit, which means to speak the mind of God, prophetes. And so we say, here I am, Lord, I come to do your will. When the call always from the triumph of the cross is come and see. We are in a place of knowing the faith. As a matter of fact, we're called to evangelize. That word means different things to different people. But the story of evangelization has to do with knowing what the Lord teaches through the body of Christ, the church, scripture and tradition with a capital T, which is anything that is formed teaching after the close of the canon when John the Evangelist died. And then I love it. You see, if the Catholic Church, St. Charles de Foucauld said, if the Catholic Church is anything, it's a religion of the heart. That means that we love what the Church teaches, but it doesn't stop there. The rest of the story is, then we act out what the story tells us. And so, here I am, Lord, I come to do your will, we are to be saying as a constant. And then as another constant, to avoid things that pull us down rather than build us up, in the epistle today, and in this constant come and see, we listen to the Holy Spirit, that happened to you this morning, whenever you got up out of your warm beds and got in a cold car and came in here to experience hearing the story that we just had proclaimed in the liturgy of the word. But wait, there's more. The story is that the word has become flesh due to the Blessed Virgin Mary's story of her saying yes to the story of the Annunciation. And faithful and true and full of grace and love, she continues to be, in the story of Catholics, Christ, Mother, but also the Mother of the body of Christ, the Church. Christ is the head, and we are the members. And I remind you that in this day and age, the story of Our Lady is not over until the Second Coming. As a matter of fact, both Pius IX and Pius XII would say that you and I are living in a story that's called the Marian Age. It began in 1830 by way of consistency. Oh, it had happened in 1500s with Our Lady of Guadalupe when she appeared to St. Juan Diego and she requested that, as you know, a chapel be built that is now a huge basilica worldwide, people come and see. That tilma that is enframed above the high altar, miracle in itself. But they also come to go to confession and to give thanks for the triumph of the cross, to thank Our Lady for her role in being our mother. People go there especially to have their confessions heard. They could do it in any local parish, but there's something about going to a place where she has appeared that seems to be so special. Because in every single instance, whenever you go to a place where the Blessed Mother has appeared, there is a sense of palpable peace. And people are moved. You see, Our Lady says, come and see, to some of us who are called to go to those places. And we go and we say, here I am, Lord, I come to do your will that's going to help me to do that in between the times of confession and places where we might go to get on our knees and make the sign of the cross and once more ask the Lord to help us in our battle with things of the flesh and the spirit. The Marian Age, the story goes, began in 1830 with something called the Miraculous Medal. Surely you've heard of it. Many have not in this day and age. Things kind of go by the wayside. But this is the story of the Miraculous Medal. This is part of your Catholic story. That Our Lady appeared, and you can't see it, but she's standing on the globe of the world. And in 1830, she said to a 21-year-old, uneducated, peasant-class girl who had just entered the convent the month before. And the story goes that this guardian angel woke her up. That's who she identified him of, a child of about 5 and glowing, and said to her, Our Lady desires to see you. Come and see. She got up in her postulant habit, went down the hall, the chapel doors open, and the place was lighted up like it was for midnight mass. Part of the story is that she went in and she knelt at the communion rail, and the bishop's chair had been drawn close. Usually it was in a special place of the presider's chair. And the guardian angel said to her, behold, the Mother of God. And a 16-year-old girl, she said, walked out of the side near the statue of St. Joseph and sat down in the presidential chair. And St. Catherine put her hands in the Blessed Mother's hands. Can you imagine? As a matter of fact, part of the Catholic story is St. Catherine's body is incorrupt, never embalmed. They opened it up decades later. Her body continues to be as pliable and perfect as it was at the moment of death, having touched the divine the story goes, how could it be otherwise? And gave her a series of messages that are part of the Catholic story. But it's also part of the Old Testament story as well as the New, a warning, the prophetic voice, that sometimes people do bad things and it hurts the infinite heart of Christ. And so he calls for repentance and renewal and conversion, which means to change your mind. Energy follows thought. When we change our mind, the energy that we put into our actions are more grace. If we don't change our mind and stick to concupiscence, which is our weakness, it's only a downward spiral. She wanted this medal struck, the miraculous medal. 1 million were minted the first year, although she had a tough time getting the bishops and the priests to believe her. And after a year, it was called the miraculous medal because physical healings took place. Prayers were answered. Conversions happened. Families were reunited, and so on. Her prophetic voice was like that of the Old Testament. In the Old Testament story, when people were bad, there was a warning that came from a prophet that would be raised up. And then after having been bad and the warning that a chastisement would happen, and it did, then a prophet would be raised up, and they would come forward and talk about consolation and restoration. Because you have repented of your sins. It is the same in the Marian age. Our Lady is constantly appearing to members of the body of Christ, the church, most of whom are very simple, sometimes cannot read or write, very humble, innocent in the best sense of that, of no guile. And she appears to them down through time and space and calls for penance, conversion, adoration, Holy Mass regularly, and especially the Holy Rosary. So this is supposed to be what we call a sacramental, like a scapular or a crucifix. A sacramental is something that leads you to the sacrament. She promises that anyone that wears this with confidence, great graces will be given. Graces to confide in God and to have confidence in Him, because Mary always leads us to Jesus. The Holy Spirit always leads us to Jesus, and Jesus always leads us to the Father. Everything is about the Father. The holy sacrifice of the Mass is always addressing the Father. Christ came to tell us what the Father was like. And so Our Lady is telling us that the Father is most displeased. And in this age, this Marian age, it will not be over the Marian age until the second coming. And then her role in salvation history will have been complete. But in between now and then, or the Marian age of 1830 up until now, she continues to appear. She appeared at Lourdes. She appeared at Fatima. She has appeared in Akita, Japan, to an elderly nun who is still alive and is still receiving messages of penance and conversion and a warning of chastisement if we do not gather to pray for the conversion of the many. And that is Medjugorje also, where I was in 1990. Mind, she's been appearing there since 1981, every single day. And the message is always the prophetic voice that God is pleased with those who pray the rosary, are faithful to the holy sacrifice of the Mass, experience confession, and because they confess and are reconciled, they confess and reconcile with others in relationship. There's a healing that takes place. But that the world is steeped in sin, especially regarding that second reading with all that we have in the internet that exposes so many, even children, to things of the flesh that shut down the desire to come and see anything that has to do with transcendence. Holiness, which means healthy and whole. And in Medjugorje, she continues to encourage us to gather and to pray the rosary. The rosary, the rosary. The story is it has special efficacy in this day and age that pours down the graces of the Holy Spirit on those who are most in need. I remind you, this is why we go to Mass as often as we can, to pray for the many. It's not only about ourselves. It's about praying for the whole world. Just as Christ prayed for the whole world, the story is, in the Catholic story, is that we are to pray for the whole world. Our penance, our example, our modeling, our faith, even in the midst of faithlessness, our struggle between the world, the flesh, and the devil, as opposed to just abandoning ourselves to things that have nothing to do with the light but are of darkness. Our Lady has confidence, she says, in us. When we have confidence in her, she will pour out the graces that Jesus Christ has given to her in her role in salvation history as the mother of the church. So we do what we can do. Here I am, Lord. I come to do your will. But first, he says, come and see, which is what Our Lady said in every single apparition when it began. She would say to the children or the young adults, come and see. And then she would open up her heart and give them visions and messages from heaven about how important it is for us to pray for the world. Otherwise, a terrible punishment will come upon mankind, the likes of which, she says, has never been seen before. It's the story of the devil that will tempt us to think that foe and false and quaint. But people who have a real spirituality will sense the palpableness of the Holy Spirit, who says to us, listen and respond. Come and see. And then we say, come, I come to do your will. You know, I heard a story the other day about a fella moved into a neighborhood, got to know everybody. They liked him. He liked them. He was a practicing Catholic. He would come out of his house Sunday mornings on his way to go to Mass. Simultaneously, a neighbor he'd become good friends with came out in his golfing attire. And the golfer would say, hey, so-and-so, why don't you come and play golf with me today? No, the Catholic would say, sorry, I'm on my way to church. Finally, after about 2 years of this, and they were really good friends, the golfer said, can I talk to you a minute? And they met at the edge of their driveways. And he said, as fraternally as he could, the golfer, you know, for nearly 2 years, I have invited you to play golf with me. You've always refused, I understand that, but not once did you ever ask me to go to church with you. You see, even as our individuals and how we live and breathe and have our being, we are these ambassadors of Christ. We are prophets to speak the mind of God. You're baptized to do that, priest, prophet, and king. So say to people in your own way, come and see. Come and listen to the story and watch the faithful with a great deal of gracious body gesture receive the body and blood of Jesus Christ, and let the Holy Spirit work among us and in them that they may come and see, and in the fullness of time say, even daily, here I am, Lord, I come to do your will.